questions that could reveal your purpose in life? What if there were questions that could surface the change most meaningful to you? And what if answering those questions would give you the power to ignite? Welcome to the Illumify Game Changer podcast. These are big conversations that lead to self-discovery. Together, let's embark on the leader's journey and ignite meaningful change. We're at the Unify stage in the Illumify Game Changer, where the focus is on action. You can't achieve meaningful change by yourself, so rightfully, it's the action that others can take to help. But the onus isn't just on others to act. The leader must too. Being able to see what could be that isn't yet is impressive, a superpower of sorts. But if the leader fails to act on it, to take even the first step, there will be nothing to anchor that vision. What's visible only to the leader at this point will stay invisible to others and unrealized. And as much as the words that leaders use matter, and they do, it's action that makes those words credible enough for others to trust in both the leader and the vision enough to act. This question prompts the leader to take that first step. Please read the reference cards again. Thank you.
Illumify. To illuminate the change that matters most to you. Amplify it, so it also matters to those who can help realize it. And unify, to align in thought and action as a collective to ignite meaningful change.
Does the word unify now? You have read these reference cards innumerable times at this point in the Illumify Game Changer, Jonathan. Given that we're in unify now, does the word unify have a different meaning to you?
It's become clear. I see where it fits in the whole story now, and I see why it's vital to the stage we're in now.
Yeah.
And why it's demanding as well. Mm-hmm. If you have a vision, which is very personal, and there's a certain complexity to it, how do you get from there to any sort of unity? And whereas we've discussed at length in the recent conversations, where your audience itself is diverse.
Yes.
And full of its own diversity, its own assumptions. So how do you get to unity through that?
How do you unify them when they're so diverse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're getting there.
We are. It wasn't too long ago you expressed, how do I do this? How do I do this? Where's the vessel? How do I do it? And are you seeing that? Maybe you can't see it yet based on the upcoming questions, but are you starting to see how this can pull it together for you?
Well, we did begin yesterday to talk in much more practical terms about the who. And that feels like one of the first steps, the who.
And then you outlined the steps in meeting with the various who's.
Right.
The and plan.
Yeah. And I think we can imagine. I don't think it would be wrong in any way to have a conversation with somebody where you say, I'm absolutely sure why we need this and how urgent it is. I believe in this with every cell in my body. But you know what? I don't know exactly what the actual thing looks like yet.
Yeah, exactly. And that's such a natural question. So understandable. And how do you move forward if you don't know what it looks like yet?
Because I think that there is... For me, there is enough energy and urgency and possibility in the vision itself, that the vessel and the shape of the vessel or the vehicle will come eventually.
Good. And it will.
And it will, yeah, yeah.
And I'm so glad you can see that, because it gives you, I know that you are confident now. But it does still give you some level of reassurance, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And it goes back to the card I'm going to read now, in fact.
Yes, could it?
The guidelines,
Go for it.
We'll stop on this one. So the guidelines, number one, answer from your heart, not from your head. Two, listen to yourself with care and focused attention. Three, do not judge the validity or viability of your answers. This is about expressing significant new initiatives or ideas that do not yet exist. And I remember we talked about this yesterday, that those two words at the end there, do not judge the validity or viability of your answers, are really important, because you wouldn't get anywhere at all if you were constantly judging the validity or the viability, because there's a first gate. You get to the validity. You feel a sense of validity when you get to the truth of your vision, and you know it's your truth. You know it's coming from you. It's coming from a good place. It's coming from a sense of care and love for something, perhaps a sense of loss. So that brings you to validity, and you hold on to that. You know in your heart that it's valid, and nobody can take that away from you. But then you have to get to viability, and I think this is where we've come through Amplify, and now as we go into, and we're now standing inside Unify, there is still a moment, we're still in a moment, I feel, of not judging the viability at this stage.
Of your vision.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure you ever do or should ultimately question the viability. You will find that out. You will find that out.
And if you stopped to question before you even begin, then you've put a stop on it. You've, in fact, prevented yourself. So this is where action is so important, because as you take one step forward, you'll see. How did they respond to that?
Yeah.
Did they get it?
Yeah.
How can I change it so they really do start to get it? It's not carved in stone as much as you do your due diligence in advance. And then you take another step. And you may not see the step that comes next. You do it step by step. And then as you step, you will gain more and more clarity on how to move forward, how to keep moving, where to go next. The sequence of steps will start to emerge one by one, maybe a cluster at a time. But if instead, as you say, you stop at the very beginning, now in your case, as you complete the Illumify Game Changer, you're emerging with your plan, with your messaging, with anecdotes and stories, and most of all with this very clear, very, very clear vision, clear to you in all of its dimensions. You hold that, as you know, and you emerge, and this is always my aim and Illumify's aim. Your vision came from you. You know it to be true to you, and I'm thankful you've expressed that a number of times in different ways. So when you emerge with your vision of what could be, your meaningful change and a plan and the way to express it. And now, by the end of Unify, the actions necessary to begin, you could stop and say, well, is it going to work? And some, it's always a choice, could stop and say, well, I've got it, but, you know, I was busy. I had other priorities. And then you park it. And sometimes what's parked never gets pulled out of the garage. So it's always a choice. But when it's a self-imposed stop based on viability, I'm not sure it's viable. Don't think it's going to work. Yeah, it's high risk. What if they think less of me? What if I ruin my whatever? That's a self-imposed stop. And it could be in others' interest to stop you. Because now you're stepping up. And in a way, they haven't seen you step up. And it may, if they mirror it, go, ooh, shouldn't I be stepping up? I don't want to step up. Now he's stepping up. So all of that can question, help you, and put you in a position of questioning viability. So I'm glad you raised that. Really glad. Because in the guidelines, the validity, do not question the validity or viability, they're applied to your answers. Mm-hmm. And you've taken us up to apply them to the vision itself. So thank you for that. Please answer the next Unify question.
What must you do to effect this change? What must you do to effect this change? Through action comes clarity. Is there some action that you specifically must take to effect this meaningful change? This is the big one.
It is.
This is the
it's
big
on
one.
You, baby.
I thought 45 was the big one.
Which was
45 had been trailed as there was a sort of sharp intake of breath. Oh, 45 is coming.
Hold on. What was 45 for our audience?
He did breeze through 45. You thought it was going to be a very elaborate. It was.
Yes.
How will this change take place? What's your plan?
Right. Yeah. You thought that was the big thing.
Yeah. This feels like the big one. This is the big one.
And this is 48.
What must you do to affect this change? There's a lot here. That we've touched on over the last few days, but let me try and bring it together into a package of things. First of all, that first line is just so important. Through action comes clarity. It's one of the threads that has been with us through the entire conversation since London. How do we act in times of anxiety, uncertainty? And as you said, Brittany, you know, welcome to the world. That's where we are. Through action comes clarity. And I've been acutely aware, both within the Illumify method, but also outside it, in my life, in my personal life here in Copenhagen, over the last year or so, let's say, in particular, that there is huge risk, there is huge danger in saying to yourself, I can't do this now. I need to wait until the wind has dropped, the waters have calmed, and I have the time necessary, then I'll be ready. It's understandable that we say that. And there are times when you simply don't have the hours in a day. But there is something about the relationship between anxiety and uncertainty on the one hand and action on the other, which is very important, I think. And I'm learning this through this method with you and trying to apply it to my own life, that some things cannot wait. And if you feel that there may not be time at the moment, or you may not have the energy, you need to find a way. You need to find a way to take the first step, even if it feels modest. the first step is the first step. It doesn't matter how big it is, doesn't matter how profound it is. You have started. So there is something really simple but very important here about action, which is why I said yesterday at some point, I need to resist the temptation, because I know myself. I need to resist the temptation to say, okay, I've got this 5-minute speech version of the vision. I need to spend a few weeks now back in the office chiseling away, perhaps making a slightly longer version. Maybe I need to knock this into the shape of a political manifesto. No, I feel now that I can't do that, that I shouldn't do that. So that brings us to the next question on the card here. Is there some action that you specifically must take to affect this meaningful change? There is, and it's, we all have our different ways of organizing our time, and how we organize our time, again, it sounds very simple, but it's really, really important. There are lots of books around at the moment and podcasts on time management, how to manage your time. It's a big, big thing. I confess I've not delved too deeply into that world, but I did listen to one person who has spent his life researching and talking and writing about this, somebody who is really an authority in the field. And listening to him, the very simple lesson that I took away was, you have to identify. Well, let me take a step back. I'm going to bring our friend Death back into the room, Marianne.
Death. Welcome back, Death. Who gives Death a welcome like this?
That's right. Our friend Death, who we welcomed.
You won't understand that reference, Brittany.
Back in
You're
London.
You're looking baffled.
Back
welcome
in London.
Welcome Death back into our conversation.
Yeah.
And anyone else just tuning in right now?
Well, it's the starting point, which is, it's one of the most necessary things to do in life, and one of the things that we so rarely do.
Yeah.
Yeah. How often does that happen? I think one of the most, and there are ways to do this, yeah, without necessarily feeling morbid or pessimistic or paradoxically, there should be a sense of joy ultimately here. We have limited time. Okay. That thought should not lead to anxiety. It should lead to a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah.
It can be hard to grasp that when one's life has been full of stability. And sometimes I catch myself thinking, wow, actually, if I take a step back and look at my life as a whole, wow, there's been so much stability. And it is counterintuitive, because you've grown through the world of work, through politics. You've almost tattooed this mantra onto your arm. The world is unstable and permanently unstable. The world of work is unstable. Human relationships are unstable. So it's almost as if you've accepted this truth. Everything is unstable. Yeah. But actually, you can look back over your life and think, well, no, there's been an incredible stability. And part of that is just luck. I don't think we talk enough about luck.
Yeah. I would agree.
It's really important
to
recognize the sheer luck that we have or don't have through life. It's really important. It's a huge factor in life. Now, why am I saying all this? Is because the starting point, you know, as we try to answer this question on the card, what must you do to affect this change? I think the first step is, remember, you know, you're going to die. What does that mean? Well, you can't wait.
And okay. So we're getting to the time issue.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think I will check his name later. I'm not going to take a punt now because I might get the name wrong. But the very good, I think it's a British psychologist and a writer who has written about this. The most simple lesson that I took away is you have to identify the things that really matter to you, that give you meaning. You really have to do that. Why did he say this? Because he said that we sometimes make the mistake of, right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to organize myself better and better and better. I'm just going to get more efficient in everything. How I deal with email, how I deal with my boss, how I deal with my to-do list, how I deal with the tasks and the chores around home, domestic life, how I travel. I'm just going to get so good at this. I'm going to get so efficient that will allow me to do more and more and more. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about this, but it just strikes me very instinctively that that's just wrong. That the idea that we just organize our time better and better and better and better, and so that we can just do more. And that's
the
answer.
And more what is the question? Well,
precisely,
right?
More, yeah. What? So I am really wedded to this idea of being very strict with oneself about the things that really give you meaning. And that sometimes means hard choices. You have to let go. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we have to stop doing things in life. That's hard.
Mm-hmm. If you remember, we spoke about decisions.
Decisions.
When you make a decision, yes, it cuts off all other possibilities.
Right. Yes.
On that.
Yes. And if you can buy into that, you discover the pleasure of decision making. I've discovered the pleasure of decision making. I'd say over the last 5 years, because it brings with it a liberation, a sense of liberation. You let go.
Yeah.
It you can still make a huge mistake, but you can make a huge mistake by not deciding. You can make a huge mistake by contemplating and thinking for 6 years before you make a decision. So you can't escape. You can't escape the uncertain. You can't escape the arbitrary. You can't escape bad luck. So you have to act. You have to decide. Again, this sounds incredibly simple, but there are truths here that you find your way to them through life. You have to live them. And I've discovered just the sheer pleasure of decision making in recent years, and that sense of liberation, freedom. So I think this is important as we answer this question. What must you do to effect this change? One, remember I'm going to die. Two, think what really matters to me. And then three, we held off for a long time, rightly. We went through 60, 70 hours of conversation and didn't once mention the word strategy.
Yes, that's right.
Until about a day ago, which is really good. Because I think it showed, I mean, we, in the work we've done, Marianne, we've spent our lives thinking about writing and executing strategies and commenting on other people's strategies, lives full of strategy. And as I said yesterday, it's one of the parts of my professional life that I really, really enjoyed. But we didn't talk about strategy. Now might be the moment to start thinking about strategy, if only in a loose way, and it has to be loose at this stage, because we are where we are. But the idea of again breaking down the landscape into different parts. So what have we got here? We have the vision, the idea. We have that. It's not set in stone, but there is a core. Okay, there is a core. There is a piece of language. Of varying lengths. There's a very short version, there's a slightly longer version, and then there's a sort of a 5-minute speech version. And I said yesterday, for now, that's enough. That's okay for now. That's probably going to be enough for now. Okay. So we have the vision, we have the text. We start to have an idea in our head about who the people are, the who question. And I can see individuals because of their importance in my life, but I can also see geography, Brussels, Copenhagen, Nottingham, London. and possibly other places where I have known people and where I still have contacts, but primarily those. So we have geography. And what are all these things doing? They're starting to give focus. And they're starting to give a sense of where those first steps will physically take place and where those first conversations will take place. So if we have the vision, texts, one, two or three versions of the vision, which at this stage are perhaps as much for our own benefit as anything else, so that we're integrating it into ourselves and feeling more and more comfortable with it, confident about it.
Yeah. Then, and let me just pause there, because it's really important when you say integrating it. It has to become as much a part of you as if anyone were to say to you, upon first meeting you, "Oh, Jonathan, who are you?" And you would say, "Well, I come from Nottingham. I live in Copenhagen now." I'm talking on the personal front because you've shared this with my partner. "And I am a writer. I am," etc. Whatever you identify as the key pieces of you that people could relate to. "Oh, I live in Copenhagen too." Your vision has to become such a part of you that it feels at home within you and can be pulled out. You've said text in various versions, links, etc. But just as if you were to say, "I was born in Nottingham on such and such a date. I'm part of a family. I have X number of siblings." That's how familiar it needs to become. Can you see that?
Yeah.
When it's much, true to you. Yeah, and in this case, of course, it is.
Absolutely. And what you've just said there, you sort of guessed what I was going to say next, which is what I was talking about there in terms of the text and the different parts of the audience that I would talk to and the geography. That's the machinery, if you like, the mechanics. Yeah. And then what you started talking about is a state of mind, which I think comes next.
State of heart too.
State of mind and heart, where it's one thing to make space in your calendar. It's another thing, and they have to go hand in hand, to make space within you and your...
Brilliantly put.
Sense of who you are. I was going to say, even before we get to space within your sense of priorities, what you were saying there, Marianne, and I think it's spot on, is actually it fundamentally comes down to who you are.
Yes.
Your identity.
Who you want to be. And if you're not there yet.
Precisely.
You have a choice on this journey called life.
Right.
Before death, you can choose how to design it, where you devote your energies, your time.
Yes.
What space you create within your life by design. And there's strategy. Like, there is strategy to that.
Mm.
You could choose, because the tactics, if the tactics of your life are what you do, you know, if you want to devote your life to going to films, which you love, that's a tactic. If you want to devote your life to golf, that's another tactic. What's the strategy governing those tactics?
Yes. Yeah.
And it comes down to, how do you want to spend this life? And now, we're speaking only from the position of privilege, where we have a choice. Not everyone, sadly, on this planet has a choice.
No.
But you do.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely.
And there is, I'll take a little bit of issue with your assertion that we're only now getting to strategy in the last couple of cards. Actually, within Amplify, we didn't speak it, but it was very much also driven by strategy because you identified what to say in great part at one point. It's still a work in progress, absolutely. But that gets to, and I believe I've said this, David Thoreau's quote, "You can only hit what you aim at." You have to know where you're aiming, and that's strategic. So leadership communication, generally speaking, is strategic because it's with view to something, in this case, igniting your vision of change. Mm-hmm. But the word strategy absolutely hasn't been spoken, has it, Jill?
No, we didn't use that word.
And it's so good that, because you are a strategic thinker. Not everyone is, Jonathan. But you would recognize, perhaps even without invoking the term, you would just do it. Mm. And that's what you actually have been doing through Amplify.
Yeah. I think it also speaks to the idea that strategy is a big, big word. Yeah. But it's not the be all and end all. There are things around it and beneath it which are much more important.
Yes, I'm so glad. Absolutely. You know, that's why strategies fail, because they're built on a lack of substance.
Right.
A faulty foundation.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
You've been building the foundation on which your strategy now sits.
Right. Yes. Yeah. No, that rings very true. So I think what I'm feeling here, and I know this because this is the conversation going through my head almost every day in and around Illumify, but also in my intimate relationship with my partner Liz, and also friends here in Copenhagen and family as well, where what part of me and my identity will make this vision happen. And this will be, it will be a particular challenge for anybody. I can see the particular shape of this challenge for me, which is this. I remember, I think yesterday, Marianne, you asked me why I had not been an entrepreneur, or why had I not thought of being an entrepreneur. And I said very quickly and clearly, no. And you asked me why, and I thought, there's not one answer to that, but the answer that came most quickly was that I'm not sure I had the singular vision. And what I meant by that was, I've recognized, if I look back over my life, from a quite an early age, and God knows where this came from. You think, my God, where did this come from? But possibly my education, the schooling, maybe. But I think certainly by the end of my teens and going into my early 20s, I had this idea that balance was a good thing, that it was good that I did my academic stuff, but not only that, you know, did a lot of sport as well.
You were a champion track and field star.
I did a lot of track and field, a sprinter. You mentioned film. So
I did that deliberately.
You did, and it was just coming into my mind at exactly the same moment.
How did I know that?
Because, you know, during those moments in my life where I've not been to the cinema for a while, for whatever reason, I feel it. There's something missing. Yeah. I miss it.
Yeah, fills a part of you.
Yes,
doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Because it's and it's the same with music and reading. Because it's, you've made it, you've invested in it, not just time but meaning. So it's not. It's not something that that entertains you only, or distracts you, or it's part of who you are, and it's how you understand the world.
Yes,
it helps you to
right.
understand and experience the world.
Yep, yep. So it's outside of your own experience.
Yes,
it's providing you with another experience. I get that completely.
So why am I saying all this now? I think it's because this vision is big in all sorts of
just
ways.
Just a little.
In all sorts of ways. There's a heavy emotional charge running through it, because it's very personal, and it comes from a very personal place, a very personal experience. As I look at this question now, what must you do to affect this change? We're touching on the strategy, the mechanics, organization of time, calendar, geography, seeing the world as an opportunity of conversations, meetings, but also I think the work that needs to go on inside my mind and with my with the people around me, so that I can give the proper and necessary space to this.
Yeah.
So that it's part of that. You're absolutely right, Marianne. I consider myself extremely lucky that I can even do this with you. Just the opportunity to do that reminds me how lucky I am, incredibly lucky. So then the question is, well, what I am thinking about what my big priorities are right now.
As you should be.
Here in Copenhagen and what happens over the next year, the next 5 years. And I need to, perhaps almost as the first thing, as the first answer to this question, is really get clear in my mind and my heart what's the shape of this inside me, you know, and to give this, and I'm going to do this very quickly and without thinking and off the cuff, just to give it some practical shape, is this, for example, is it something I do almost as a gentle academic pastime, almost, I mean, hobby sounds just silly as a word, but you get what I mean, yeah? Something that you would do once in a while, you know, something I dabble in.
Dabble?
Yeah.
That's a word we don't often hear anymore.
No,
dabble.
No,
let's
no.
Dabble.
There you go. That's right.
People do dabble, Brittany. Yeah. You can see dabbling in social media. Yes, that's dabbling.
Yes. Brittany getting worried about.
Do you know that term?
Of course. I use it actually all the time.
Oh, tell us. Yeah. Seriously. I don't
I
hear
use
it often.
In a silly way. Like, oh, you know, I dabble in restaurants from time to time, just
okay.
In like a very casual, joking way.
Okay. Now we're not picking on you, but there is a different generation at this table, and you represent it, as do you, Jean. You're not that much. Well, you are. You're older. Yes, you are older. You're between Jonathan and Brittany, yeah. And us.
No, that one I do know very
dabble.
Well.
Dabble. Yes. Okay.
I am a dabbler myself.
So. And is there a value to dabbling?
That's a very good question. You know, the expression, if you split your focus too much, you never become a master of anything. Yeah, so perhaps no.
Okay.
But
on the other hand.
In a casual way, it's I suppose it represents having various interests and being a little bit cultured and knowing different things about different aspects.
So you said there's a downside in that you don't become a master of anything, but the upside. Could it be by dabbling, you're experiencing a broader range of things,
yeah,
even
you
if you're only
yourself.
Experiencing them briefly?
Perhaps it's an opportunity to expose yourself, and then you can say, oh, I would like to spend a little bit more time here.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, that what you've just said there, Brittany, makes a whole bunch of sense, and it sort of brings me back to this idea of equilibrium or balance in my own life, where yes, I've appreciated the value of that because it's part of who I am. I've needed to do bits of this, bits of that to feel who I am. And if something's missing, like cinema, then it hurts. You feel that part of you is missing. There is a flip side to it, though, sometimes, which is I think the flip side can be that it puts you in a mindset where when something comes along, you seek to accommodate it and you seek to find a space in your house for it, metaphorically speaking. And the risk there is that you don't allow yourself perhaps to be put off balance sometimes. I mean, you know, there are times when you, for whatever reason, should be put off balance. The obvious example is if there's an emergency in your life, you can't say, oh, I don't have time for this now. You know, emergencies come and grab you. You don't have a choice. You're knocked off balance. It just is. Yeah. But there is not only, I know this, there is not only stability in life. Stability is not the be all. It's not the only good thing in life. You can't only, I mean, some people would hate the idea of stability. What I'm trying to get a hold on here is, I do know that as a first step here, I need to make a space within me, head and heart, so that I can take this forward. And if for whatever reason it's not with the same intensity that we've shown over the last, through Illumify and through the podcast and through our long conversations in London, Toronto and Copenhagen, I must find a way of taking the energy and the momentum from this. I mean, it will take a different form because I'm not, it won't be from tomorrow, it won't be a podcast because...
Well, maybe not for another day.
No.
Tomorrow
right,
will still
right,
be
it
a
will still
podcast.
Be a podcast, yes. but it,
likely.
So already it's taking a different form. Yeah, it's going to take a different form the day after tomorrow and then the day after tomorrow. So it's, but I'll finish my first answer now just by saying being drawn back to this idea of action is just so important. The first step in anything is so important. And as the card says, as the card reminds us, action brings clarity. It also... It's back to that question, what do we do in times of uncertainty and anxiety? Act. Act is one of the best, perhaps the only response to that.
I think we can leave it there. Thank you. Through action comes clarity. Just four words, but they say a lot. They tell leaders that you don't have to know everything just yet. And given that their vision is of something that doesn't yet exist, how could they? Yet when you're compelled to ignite a meaningful change, it's understandable to not want to fail at it, and therefore strive for perfection in the planning, the preparation, timing, even life itself. So you wait until everything is just right before you take a step toward that vision. Jonathan has often spoken of his life in Copenhagen, so I wasn't surprised that the concept of the balanced life came up in this conversation. That's one of the things that makes Danes about the happiest people in the world. But he sees now that action is clarity, and even the balm to anxiety and uncertainty. The leader's journey continues. If listening to this Illumify Game Changer podcast is of value to you, please like it on this platform and share it with those who could ignite meaningful change. It's here, as am I, to be of service. I'm Marianne Gobet. Thank you for accompanying us on the leader's journey. To fully experience the passage to igniting meaningful change, subscribe to the Illumify Game Changer podcast. To learn more about the Illumify Game Changer and how to embark on your own leader's journey, please visit Illumify's website at illumifyinstitute.com. You matter. Step up. Speak up. Together, let's ignite meaningful change.